I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I'm Mark Haynes.
And I'm Julia Rayside.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags. The wonderful outfits.
The complex structure of bets that could leave you better off by £1 million.
And everything that happens both on and off the dance floor.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends, and dancing!
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful.
Hello, and welcome to The Curse of Strictly, and thank you for putting us in the top 10. We're officially a top 10 podcast. Well done, us.
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Sorry, should I not have mentioned that, Mark?
Oh, well, you've done it now, so
we
can't really go out and edit it.
Made us sound like a couple of big heads.
It's very much, I think, Strictly is doing the heavy lifting.
Do you think so?
I think so.
It's fairly popular still.
Yes, it is.
I agree with you.
We've just had the opening show on this weekend, the first sort of active competition where we've got to see the runners and the riders.
It's still going on now, Mark.
It is. It's Tuesday. It was a long watch. It was over 2 hours.
Yes.
That's a long time.
I mean, to keep the energy up, it is a long time.
I found that when they had those little bits where they showed you the dancers who were still to come.
Oh, God.
You'd go, God, there's 15 of them. You know, I'd forgotten Annika Rice. Oh, and I'd forgotten Dev. And I'd forgotten. And it was just, in a weird way, those little bits that sort of went, look what's coming up.
Yeah.
It just filled me with terror.
I think so. It makes you all too aware of what's yet still to come. And yeah, no, I think it's better they just rush through it. But I really felt for Emma Barton, who was on last.
Yeah.
Who had a dive to do. So like the most energetic dance, and she had to try and keep excited for 2.5 hours.
They made her, before this like energetic dance, they would have made her just stand up for 2 hours 20. I couldn't do 20.
Uh-uh.
I find it difficult to walk to the studio. The idea of 2 hours 20 going, I've got to remember it all, got to remember everyone shouting and everyone celebrating when they finish their dance.
And just all tense from nerves and things. You'd be a wreck.
Appalling.
So she did very well, I thought.
Yeah, she did. It was a good show for what it was. I mean the actual standard of the dancing for a week one was just insane.
It was far too high.
Really was.
We have to say that some people have left themselves with nowhere to go. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Kelvin. I keep wanting to call him Kelvin McKenzie, which is just off-putting. He's not the newspaper guy. But the guy from Emmerdale, who is just brilliant. He's so good. He did his cha-cha, was it a cha-cha?
Yes, he did,
no,
yeah.
Samba. He did a samba.
Samba,
sorry.
That's right, sorry.
And his hips are just... I have watched that dance a few times,
yeah.
I will confess, maybe more times than I needed to. But he pulled this Latin first dance out of the bag, just the fluidity of his movement, it was insane. He shouldn't have been that good this early. He got eights across the board. And it is, I mean, he's clearly a very humble, nice guy. He's really likable. He's got arguably the nicest dancer. Oti is his partner. But where have they got to go now?
That's
he's going to have to get severely worse next week and then climb out of that hole.
Did you see the little cut they did to Jamie Leng?
Yes.
Watching.
Sick as a dog.
Absolutely. I've never seen anyone on television look so bilious.
He looked really like he'd just smelt something horrible. And his girlfriend sitting next to him, I watch Made in Chelsea, so I know who she is. She's called Hubs. She barely opens her mouth when she speaks. She looked like she'd swallowed a wasp. It was delightful.
They had a bit that I loved, and it involved the two of them. So Jamie and Hubs.
Hubs.
She's
a model.
They do that funny thing where they get Tess to talk to someone in the audience.
Oh, yes, it's a bad idea.
And they just basically go, whoever they're with, shove up, because Tess is going to be sitting down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was quite aware when they did the first bit where they talked to Jamie. I thought that must be his girlfriend, because she's really sitting there and it's her chair and Tess has just sat down and she's separated from the person who sort of justifies her being there. It looks so awkward.
It always
and strange.
Looks awkward. And I've sat in in those chairs, like maybe sort of two rows back. So when they deem you're not wearing enough makeup, they move you back a bit. Because they do, they tell you, like, no jeans, like, dress up, because they want you to try and look, you know, part of the show. Mm. And you're so crammed in. So God knows who would fall in off the end of that row in order to accommodate Tess's admittedly very small bottom. It's just, it's very, very uncomfortable.
It is a funny thing on a major show where they've never quite got that interviewing of the public organised.
No, they shouldn't do it.
Just the shuffle up is not A-list telly.
Also, just don't break the fourth wall like that. The magic they create on the dance floor, it's all very... It's in such a small studio as well when you're actually in there. They have to keep it there when they turn the camera outwards. When someone in the audience even does something slightly distracting, it just ruins everything.
Yeah, totally. One of the things I love the most is when they cut to people in the audience and they never sort of like make it clear whether they're parents or just local fans.
They're just invested some way. Yeah.
I love doing that thing where they pick two people and you go, mum and dad, and then it cuts to another couple and you go, mum and dad? Not sure. Don't know.
And they always, then obviously, there must be monitors, I guess, and they're always looking up at themselves on the monitor going, we're on TV. Like, that never makes good TV. That just looks amateurish and it spoils everything.
It really does. Some of the things that they do, again, which stop it feeling like a really big A-list show. The BBC are very nervous about going, this is the peak television show that we have.
Yes, about being too glitzy.
Yeah.
They like a little bit of, a bit of casual, we're not taking this too seriously.
Yeah.
That has to come into it too.
Which I think is slightly a mistake. I think they should go a little bit more serious about it.
Do you think so?
I really do. I know people like the campness, but I just think that there's something about not necessarily what's happening with the judges and on the dance floor. But I think the overall thing, they should be going, and this is also part of like not celebrating their history and things.
Yeah,
they should be sort of prouder of it. There was the opening bit that they did, they had a little filmed VT.
Yeah.
And it was sort of fake rolling news, as if news, the new lineup for Strictly has come out. You know, new star signed.
Montage.
And they showed two guys who were probably about 18, 19 in King's Cross. One of them looked like Ed Sheeran. And they were looking at their phones to get the updates.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I really sort of thought, don't lie to us. This is there's no 18-year-old boys just going, you know, mate, that is a sick beat. Stop, though. I need to find out who Emma Barton is.
No, it's true. Yeah, they were trying to make the announcement of the partners who they were dancing with.
It also
Big
ended
news.
With the whole cast. They did a sort of countdown where it ended with all of the cast taking a selfie of themselves before they ran on. And that, again, is a real sort of 65-year-old Marmaduke hussy saying, you know, I was thinking it could end with a sleffy.
Sleffy.
It's written down here.
I disagree. I think that's what makes it charming, that it's still very old school, Ellie, shiny floor. When you move into the kind of the X Factory, that the much more polished, much more insincere side of things, I think you lose me. I like to know there are human beings making this.
Mm.
Maybe slightly fusty, slightly older human beings, but I feel safer in their hands than I do the irresponsible young gunslingers over on ITV. I'd rather be with these guys.
Is it Britain's Got Talent, The Champions?
Ugh, I don't know.
It's such a hard watch. Ugh. And it's largely because they keep on putting lots and lots of piped in applause in places where logically would not be.
Yeah.
They've even sort of given up not cutting to the audience, not applauding when they put the applause on.
I mean,
they'll have a load of people just sitting there with their hands in their laps and there will be roars of laughter and sort of like champagne corks popping. But that, again, much too long a show.
Yeah.
But yeah, watching that, I agree with you there. I think there's a certain level. I like the competition element of it.
Yeah.
And when we don't have the competition element of it, I slightly think, you know, why am I watching 2 hours and 20 minutes?
I know, when there's nothing at stake. That's always the difficult thing with the first episode out of the traps, because everyone's just spent 2 weeks learning this brand new skill. They haven't the heart to kick anyone out in week one.
Yeah.
So there isn't really anything at stake. And they try and pile on the pressure with that. Oh, these scores will go through to the next one, they'll be added together in some way, but I mean, it really doesn't mean anything. This is just a short window. It's just you're leafing through a catalogue effectively, and yes, the energy can dip sometimes, but I think overall, I mean, maybe that's why there's such a large number of dancers now, so such a high proportion of them are better than they need to be at this stage.
I entirely, and weirdly that makes for a bad first show
because
if everyone is decent it slightly robs you of that thing of going, oh, they are having a nightmare, or they are a good pick.
Don't worry, they've got James Cracknell, so it's all right. Oh, bless him. I feel so sorry for him. He's an ironing board.
Oh, he looked like if you went to some kind of weird like waxwork museum on like the Isle of Man, and they had an animatronic butler that was made like when they were a bit flush, and it would jerk towards you very sort of slowly and ponderously. He was the only really legitimately, absolutely 100% terrible performer.
He was
on
a stinker.
That.
There was no trace of talent for this at all in there. He was the word stiff with a face.
Really was, yeah.
And the bat dance choice as well, a tango for that. That's just not fair.
No. He was stooped over his partner, who is Luba.
Yeah.
And he was really sort of... What you could see really was he was desperately trying to remember everything.
Yeah.
And absolutely to his credit, he didn't put a foot wrong.
No.
And his body shape. He was sort of looming over her.
Yeah.
Like a vampire on a peasant.
If that had been like Halloween week to I put a spell on you and he was in all the makeup, maybe that would have taken away some of the, you know, you wouldn't have noticed quite so much how bad he was, but he just sucked.
Yeah.
And I put money on him. You're going to lose this week, my friend, because I bet on him to be the first to go out.
You did. You got great odds as well.
I think so.
So you put on 20 quid.
I might get about 200 quid back.
Astonishingly high, but I will say this. The fact he was that bad can work in his favour.
No, because, you can't get that much better
in a
week.
Because if you're right on the bottom, people are more likely to ring in and vote for you
than if
you're number three off the bottom.
I know, that's true. I mean, the lower ranks of the leaderboard this week, I think Chris Ramsey, who I didn't think was bad, and he had rhythm, and for me, he's the journey. He's the one that's got a lot of potential because he could stay in time.
Yeah.
So all he has to do now is be like madly drilled by Karen's his partner, right? She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's going to get some good stuff out of him. So I don't think he's going to go if he's given a chance, but he is one off the bottom at the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
So, which is a bit of a dicey place to be.
13. And I think he went on second, and I don't think they'd quite got the level of the scores they were giving. The scores were all over the place.
They had no
reflection as to really how good each dance had been.
No, exactly.
But it's them finding their feet as they're doing it.
Oh, it's true. There's also one really annoying moment. I can't remember which dancer it was for, but where Shirley was so busy laughing that she forgot to get her paddle out. And then she marked whoever it was down quite significantly with a big smile on her face. Like, come on now, let's respect the effort these people have put in.
I had a little look because after James Cracknell, Cracknell scored 11.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is a low
it's
score.
It's V poor.
It's not the lowest in Strictly History.
Yeah.
The lowest was Quentin Wilson. He got 8 points.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he did go out in week one.
He did,
two,
yes.
Week two, yeah.
Yeah, he certainly was early on.
Eight points is sucky.
Craig dubbed him Britain's worst dancer.
Oh, okay. Well, at least Cracknell hasn't got that mantle just yet.
No.
But to make him, he danced to gold, didn't he? It's like,
he did.
Because he's an Olympian.
Well, they're tying them in early on,
aren't they?
Sort
of, yeah, yeah. They sort of are, loosely.
Yeah. Chris Ramsey's interesting. So Chris Ramsey, so Cracknell gets 11.
Yeah.
He gets a 2, a 3, a 3, and a 3 for doing a tango. Now, Chris Ramsey, he gets 13. Only two points more,
and he was way better.
He was. He had a funny sort of... He looked weird. And I don't mean that in a horrible way. He was wearing a sort of floral shirt.
Yeah,
that was a little bit sort of ill-fitting and a bit big.
Yeah.
It looked slightly, if you go to like Luton Airport, quite early, 8 a.m., you'll see those guys who are wearing those box fresh shirts. And they've never tried them on until they've gone to the airport.
It's from the holidays.
Yeah, because they're going on holiday. Right. And it just doesn't quite fit.
No.
So what it gave him was a sort of boxy look. And as he was moving around, it was like he was filled with water. And his body would slosh a bit as he moved. It was a bit weird.
He was keeping up the speed. And also, Karen is the most extraordinary shape. The shape she makes on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And the outfit was basically backless and kind of like this sort of cut-off jacket thing and a tiny skirt. So, you know, she was making extraordinary shapes. Next to her, it's very hard to look as impressive.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, his score was way off beam for me, I think. But I think, genuinely, the rhythm was there. Even Craig had to admit he's got rhythm.
Yeah.
Those people are the ones to watch. Those people are the ones who can learn to train their bodies. If they do the physical work to get a core, a strength and stuff, that he'll go somewhere if he's given the chance, I think.
He did kick off, though, and he was doing that thing where he had his mouth open and at times his tongue was lolling out. And that is a massive no-no. You've got to hide that concentration. One of the things I really noticed with Chris Ramsey as well, and we mentioned this about, you know, like James Cracknell, Cracknell dancing to Gold.
Yeah.
There are a couple of people who dance to songs that I'd never, ever heard of.
Which is always really unfair, because
really
then you can't
is.
Remember their dance because you can't remember the song they danced
to. And Chris Ramsey, he danced to something. I mean, I can't even remember whether it had lyrics, but it sounded like an advert for coconut water.
No, no,
I
no, no,
can't
no.
tell you what
That's
it was.
You're such a dad now. That was Juice by Lizzo, the woman of the moment.
None of those words mean anything.
Well, okay, so Lizzo is incredible. I'm going to see her in concert in November. She's amazing. because I'm really current and hip. Are they playing
one of the Abbotsfield nursing homes?
Yes,
they.
Yes.
I imagine it's one person, isn't it? She.
Yes, Lizzo. She's this kind of super plus sized, like, love yourself, you're amazing, kind of awesome dudes. She broke through in this country really properly to people like me anyway, because she did Glastonbury this year. Mm-hmm. And her set was a really big hit on the iPlayer and on TV. So, no, she is very, very good.
I didn't recognise it.
That song I did recognise. There were some I didn't, though.
I think that's a thing, though, if you think about who is voting. And unlike the little package they have at the front, it's not 18 and 19-year-olds.
No.
It's going to be people of our generation and up.
It's the people who bother to stay in to watch it rather than catching on the iPlayer. It's going to be the people who are, it's Saturday night, this is my night, I'm staying in for this. And that's quite a broad age range. But yeah, it's not the 18-year-olds.
Yeah, my mum will go, the Gold thing she will have heard of. My mum's in her mid-70s.
I know that song.
Juice Box by Lizzo.
Juice Box. Just juice. Blame it on the juice.
I think that was a disaster. I did enjoy Karen Clifton being in a bra.
Of course you did. Of course you did. It was lime green and very lovely, and she looked beautiful.
Who stuck out for you?
Actually, I really enjoyed, he was, and I think he played it well as well, Dev. So he's the Garf of Radio 1.
Yeah.
And he was, I can't remember what he was dancing.
Foxtrot.
That's right, a Foxtrot with Diane. I really like Diane, the redhead. She's awesome. He got two sevens and two eights. And I just thought there was something, he wasn't too good, but he was very good.
Yeah.
His posture was suspiciously brilliant, and he just looked very natural, very at ease.
I think there was some
Space for him to be a bit more showy offy.
Yeah, Motsi actually, she summed it up for me. I was trying to work out what it is about that performance that was so good, and she just said it's so soft. And it was. Yeah. It looked...
Is she a Geordie now? Is she Matt Baker from The One Show?
It's so soft. But he actually had such a sort of natural grace and elegance. It didn't look like he was going, got to remember to do this, got to remember to do that. He just had a very nice, fluid, calming
He was
move.
Super cool.
I thought he was really, really
but
good.
But also... just didn't push it too far. I thought the routine was really good, actually, and sort of kept it fairly on the down low. He didn't suddenly emerge as like... I mean, the score was very high, because technically I think he was brilliant.
He got a 30, didn't he?
There is room for him to now go up and down a little bit, but get better and better. He's magically brilliant in the last 4 weeks.
I loved the opening
for
clever. It. So they danced to Build Me Up Buttercup, which again... Yeah. Good song to do because people recognise it.
Everybody loves it.
Oh, I like this one. Oh, and now they're dancing. And now I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
They opened it with, again, that real out of touch BBC thing where he's a DJ. So they stuck him in a booth that was like a radio booth from the 1950s.
Bit cheesemongers,
And he has to go, up next, pop pickers. It's Build Me Up Buttercup. And then they put him on.
Yeah, just like he does on Radio 1. Yeah. It's Juice Box by the Lizzos.
Alex Scott kicked things off.
Yeah.
Hard thing to do because you're in pole position.
That is difficult, yeah.
And again, they don't quite know what they're going to be awarding through the course of the night. So she got 21.
She's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I'm not finding her massively exciting yet, but then she does have room to sort of get everyone's attention.
Yeah.
As the potential winner of the show, definitely.
By the time the show had ended, I had forgotten all about her because it was days before when
she danced. On such a long show, that is probably not the best thing to do to open the show, because people do forget you.
There's an indication, obviously, that as a production, they think she's going to be pretty good because they wouldn't have chucked her out first if they didn't think she had a bit of potential.
No. I think she's going to last a while. The other person who really stuck out for me, because he was given a quick step to do, which is just impossible, and his feet seem to be keeping up pretty amazingly, was Will.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely.
I mean, obviously he's a table tennis guy. They have fast feet, they move around, they know how to move around quickly, but everything about him, like they talked about his frame, everything was pretty amazing.
He has
how bloody hard his
joints
feet was working
in his ankles.
Amazing.
And yet he did that. Now I thought that was, for me, it was the best dance of the night.
Yeah, I agree,
because it came as a surprise. I thought he had really good charisma.
Yeah,
he sort of had a great facial work.
Yeah, he did.
He was really onto it, and he was absolutely crisp with all of the sort of the beats.
As a sports person, he was actually straight out of the traps performing rather than going, I'm a sports person, it's just I'm going to get this right, going to get this right. He looked like he'd sort of, I don't know how you do that in 2 weeks. He'd left behind the sort of the disciplined thing, the concentration on his face, and he just looked like he was a dancer.
He totally did. And I think there's something, that for me, of course, that is a pure journey, this one. For him to show so much
J-word,
more.
Can we have a bell?
For him to show that much more personality
yeah.
on the dance floor than he has in all of the build-up to this.
Genuinely.
Yeah, properly thrilling.
Very
and
exciting.
At the end, he kissed the camera, which is a real indication that he knew he'd absolutely smashed it.
He nailed it, and he's having himself a time already, and I think that's he's going to make the most out of every second of this. I think he probably has quite far to go in this. Mm. If that's how he starts,
yeah.
then I think his potential is huge.
Yeah, I think, talking of that potential as well, back to Alex Scott, I think the real key to her victory
yeah.
is going to be Neil Jones, her partner.
I think so too.
He's been around for, I think, 4 years.
He yeah.
does a lot of the choreography.
He's always lurking in the background.
Never had a partner.
Hopeful.
Absolutely. yeah. All of the bits that they did where he yeah. spoke, he came across so well. He was really warm.
He
was great. And that came as a bit of a surprise to me. I was like, I didn't, again, a little bit like Will Bailey. You don't get an impression
yeah.
of how charismatic they are until they're out there.
Yeah, why have they been hiding him?
Totally. I mean, it's just
he
bizarre.
Was quite charming, wasn't he? I was waiting to see sort of how, I don't know, how genuinely warm he'd be, because that's a huge part of this. It's a
yeah.
popularity contest. I think, yeah, you're right. He had a really good start. You were right, by the way, about Michelle and her voguing. Boy, did they upsell the voguing for her routine.
I called it. I said she was the dark horse.
She was good.
And honestly, her routine was brilliant. Really,
yeah.
really good.
I don't know if Giovanni choreographs, but that was a really good routine for her.
It was. And
she
moved beautifully.
Yeah, she really did.
She had that ability. And whether it's, we mentioned last time, she was a very big sort of voguer in the
yeah.
early 90s in the New York club scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when she would move her head, it was so sort of flick and crisp
yeah.
and everything that you want in dancing.
Proper pro, yeah.
And I think it is hard when you're in your 50s and
God,
a woman
yeah.
to be doing something where you look not just competent,
yeah.
but you look totally in control.
Oh,
I
she does look in charge, yeah.
Proper, and actually one of the only dances of the night that had a sexuality about it.
Yes, true. It was pretty hot. And you're right, because she's so normally high status on TV. She is a judge. And she talked about that, like, I am now going to be judge and I understand what that's like.
Mm.
But she somehow maintained her status, even though she's effectively the newbie now. She's the greenhorn. She was fantastic
yeah,
and just clearly isn't going to let that slip.
And there's a funny thing about watching her interacting with the judges.
Yeah.
Because she is a absolutely international judge.
Yeah.
That level. They opened up, I think, this bit with Tess doing a bit of mugging along with sort of Craig or Bruno,
yeah,
one of
yeah,
the two.
Yeah.
And I just thought she must be watching that, just yeah. going, oh yeah, that's exactly the sort of thing we'd have done if we'd have done RuPaul's Drag Race a bit badly.
yeah.
But I also watched it and I thought, can you imagine what she must have been like to witness in like 1991?
Oh my God.
When
insane.
She was absolutely at the height of her powers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's still got it. Jeez.
I really liked her as well. I thought the bits they showed them training, she seemed so sort of
yeah.
sassy and on it. And I loved her. Absolutely
yeah.
loved
Me
her.
Me too.
I can see her going a long way.
Yeah, I think so too.
Hello and welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I mean, back down the other end of the scale, Annika, bless her. Mm. I mean, she was kind of athletic and vigorous and so full of energy, but I didn't detect bags and bags of natural, you know.
No. Rhythm. No, she knew the moves.
She was flipping adorable, though.
She was. And she danced like, I don't know. It's hard to even sort of like put it into words. I don't want this to sound rude, but she danced sort of like a very sort of maiden aunt. At a wedding.
Where like an incredibly lithe one.
Yeah,
still.
Who's not been asked to dance for 40 years and suddenly is dancing and he's enjoying it, but yeah. Just didn't have the natural moves and flow.
She will go a long way on being just absolutely delighted to be there. And, oh God, I hated them changing the words to Gloria to Annika. It was just really cheesy. awful. But and she'll go out for Blackpool, there's no question.
Yeah.
She just won't make it that far, but she's just... That kind of upbeat Pollyanna thing will take her a long way off.
Yeah, I think so.
Everyone loves her.
Again, yeah. You can also tell from a production point of view that in the little opener they have in the credits where they show who's dancing, you know, so it'll be Annika and Kevin,
yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
She does a comedy one where she sort of goes, whoop!
That's it.
And
that is a
sign that, yeah, you're going to be here, but probably not after week six.
Exactly. So I'm not taking this too seriously. I'm just happy to be around, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we're British. We like that. We like an underdog who's chippy and sort of... And up for it, but yeah, she's not got the actual chops, I don't think.
On the other side of that, I think you've got the two soap actresses.
Yeah.
Who, they have final written all over them.
They kind of do, don't they?
But not an exciting final written all over them.
No, not yet, no. So you've got Emma, who I think we're dubbing the Happy Swan.
Yes, Happy Swan.
She's sort of like long-necked and elegant and very, very smiley.
Mm.
But I was surprised by her jive, actually. I wrote down she has hoofers legs, if that's not objectifying her too much. There's something about, you know, when they put them in those Latin costumes.
Yeah.
She has those legs that look like they were made to be on a dance.
She looks like a Tiller girl.
Angela rippling it up, completely Tiller girl. Yeah. So I think she's kind of a solid banker for, if not the final, really close to the final.
Yeah, and you can see Anton, he's going for this series.
Oh, he's so happy.
With all of his heart.
He probably will get to Blackpool this year, and that's really nice.
What is funny about Anton watching this, again, he jives a bit like your mum and dad. He's like from a different era.
He is.
And so he is the one who doesn't put any sensuality into the dancing.
Yeah.
It's just very clean and very pure.
Yeah.
He could be a big dancer in North Korea.
Yeah.
Where everyone's morals remain intact. Yes. He isn't done for licentiousness.
Yeah, no cushions on laps when Anton's dancing, except for my mum, obviously. Yeah. They're a good pairing, I think, those two. I will hold my hands up and say when they put the couples together, I was like, oh, Michelle Visage, definitely going to get Anton, no question. I think they've been quite clever with the pairings this year.
Definitely. And Catherine Tilsley and Johannes.
I like watching him. It's okay to say that, right?
Brill. Tall, he's
very
arrogant.
Very charismatic.
Hugely.
Core.
And the two of them, you know, these two sort of pipe cleaner people.
Yeah.
You know, long arms, very thin, very... And they did a fine job, really.
Yeah.
She was dressed a bit strangely.
Yeah.
Sort of, she looked like she was an extra from that horror film Midsommar.
Well, they were trying to go with the Sonny and Cher vibe, weren't they? Because she was sort of, 'cause it's a 60s song. They were trying to go ballroom but hippie at the same time, which is a hard culture clash.
It really was. It looked like a sort of like Laura Ashley campaign from the mid-80s where they'd sort of gone, it's all about this boho cheek. Timotei advert.
No, I know exactly. She was the Timotei advert of like in a spin cycle. But I thought she got some extra points for, do you remember when Will Young basically won Pop Idol by doing an impression of his father saying, Annabelle, fetch the shotgun. If you can bring yourself across as a funny, then suddenly the audience are going to sort of get a hold of you. And she was really funny talking about how, you know, she's training for the waltz. It's notorious for travel sickness. She's like, if I do throw up, I'll do it really romantically and lovingly. And I just thought, yeah, no, I like the cut of your jib. And I think it was a very good, it was almost the perfect week one performance.
Yeah.
It was proficient. It wasn't too razzle-dazzle. It wasn't trying to be too good too soon. But she definitely was a bit lovable and a bit sort of, you're starting from a really good place.
She was a perfect example of how the scoring hasn't settled yet.
Exactly.
20.
Yes. Yeah,
she got fives from all the judges.
Yeah, no, no.
That didn't seem to reflect what we were watching at all.
Not at all. But actually, that's good for her in terms of, well, mid-table. Sometimes girls do suffer from being mid-table and the other women watching don't vote for them.
Yeah.
I think women do probably predominantly make up most of the voting public on this show. But I think she might be all right because Johannes is a dreamboat.
Isn't he? The other really...
One for the mums.
The other, exactly as you said there, the other really low score that didn't seem to reflect the dance that had been done was Emma Weymouth and Aliash.
Yeah, doing pretty good.
They got 19.
Yeah.
And all of it was perfectly good.
Yeah, I didn't sort of sense he was pushing her that far. But then again, week one, you shouldn't be. But she does seem to be naturally really... Posh people can dance.
Yeah.
The answer to the question from last week, they can dance.
One
all
can.
Posh people can now dance.
She made a big thing about saying, you know, don't listen to my title. You know, don't judge me.
Yeah.
She said, I'm just a mum in wellies.
Yes.
I have met loads of mums in wellies who are some of the poshest people you could ever imagine. They've all been awful as well. Absolutely. Terrible. They did make her dance to
She's a Lady.
Yeah,
which is, again, you know, week one they do struggle to step outside of that, you know, let's do something that sounds a bit like your job or what you do.
That's true. She really as well looked like she was having a lot of fun.
She really, really
did.
And
that was infectious. That was just, it felt really, really good. She was beaming the entire way through.
Again, I think she's massively going to benefit just because of the natural prejudice of the audience. Some people might be, well, I'm not voting for her. She's up herself or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously,
like
it doesn't
me.
Reflect who she is. Like you, the kind of, you know, the anarchist.
I have to wage my class war where and when I can.
You do. But actually, putting her with Aliash is a really smart move. I'm guessing it was also a height thing because he's tall and she's tall. But she will, by osmosis, be much more likable in the early weeks before we get to know her because she's with him, because he clearly just thinks she's great and that's a brilliant place to start from. So
yeah.
No, that, again, another good week one performance, I think.
I also enjoyed it when Tess afterwards, as she came off, Tess said the line, "Lady,
beautiful lady." Which, like, she's a flower seller in Covent Garden. Oh, beautiful lady.
If someone came up to you and did that in the street, you'd just sort of go, oh yeah, I met someone. They were a bit, I don't know if they were on drugs or if they just lost a bit of their mind, but they just said, lady, beautiful lady.
But sometimes I have to say, this is a good place to bring this up, actually. Mm. Tess gets a lot of stick. So I love Claudia, and that's just like, it's obvious why I would love Claudia. She's just, her brain is always whirring. She talks at a million miles an hour. It's a really good use of her to put her upstairs where she has to think on her feet a lot more. Tess is mostly auto cue with a tiny bit of extemporizing, but when she does do it, apart from the old lady, beautiful lady, she has to keep it bland, she has to keep it, you know, fairly sort of short. I think she's really, really good. I haven't seen her do it yet this series, but I think it'll be this weekend that we see if this is still what's happening. So in that studio, just after the second couple have been in the dance-off and done their dance, she's always rushing in like she's just come in from putting a fag out. Is she going out for a cigarette? Okay, watch this weekend. On Sunday, at the end of the dance-off, she is always out of breath and just like skidding into shot. What is going on there? Where's she just been for the whole of that dance?
Wouldn't there be a great thing if it's never been revealed, but Tess is allergic to watching dancing? One dance, she will die. She goes into anaphylactic shock and it's all over. So what she's doing...
She has to be kept outside.
And it's the reason she's so often by the judges' table or in the audience, because it's easy for her to just turn her back.
Yes.
And she can remain safe and alive.
Oh, God, maybe it's glitter. It's terrible.
No one thought to check. Let's go through the other people we've not covered yet.
Go on.
We've got AJ and Saffron Barker, who did the tango.
Oh, yes.
They've got 27.
Yeah, that was pretty good. She's good. But again, not getting much from her. He's sort of a very sweet-faced youth. He doesn't have lots of funny things to add during the clips or the little interviews. So she's kind of not really, I don't know.
They were doing a tango, and I think whether it's because it's the first week or anything. But
are they doing a tango?
They made the decision not to do one of those smouldering, passionate tangos. They did a sort of millennials tango.
That's right. She had a kind of like her hair up in a big high pony and she was in red.
Yeah.
But it didn't really feel like a tango.
And millennials, they don't have sex anymore, do they?
Or drink.
All they do is they sit in rooms and they imagine the new smooth iPhones that might come out.
While the world burns around them.
And there was a really weird lack of chemistry in that dance.
Strangely, there was a bit. Maybe it's still to come. It's only 2 weeks in. But yes, she's a bit of an unknown quantity. I don't know. They've put two people who seem quite similar together, which on the surface seems like a great idea.
Yep.
but they're not really projecting much out, are they, at the moment?
Not at all.
And we'll see.
And weirdly, the judges, and this was, I think, the fourth dance of the night.
Yeah.
The judges, Motsi said, that's the best dance I've seen until now. Shirley said, fabulous.
Yeah.
It left me totally cold. I was really shocked that they were like, well done.
Yeah.
It also started with her, again, it's the 55-year-old man in charge of the little bit of business around the dances. She had a mobile phone because she's a YouTuber.
Of course.
Which, of course, they can't say. They say social media star.
Yeah.
Which dilutes, really. If you don't really know what she is, you just go, that's nebulous.
Well, I suppose. But again, it doesn't really matter because you stop listening if you're over the age of 40 anyway.
That's true. Yeah. She had a phone. And she was going flip, 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 and she got a dance match with AJ.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, the one thing that you don't really need to do on Strictly is essentially introduce Tinder. Because Strictly is Tinder,
it is Tinder
for female celebrities.
It's skilled Tinder. It is, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You learn a skill and you probably will get your end away if you're lucky. Yeah.
I know someone who went on Strictly.
Really?
And they also knew someone who went on Strictly in a different year.
Oh.
And this person they knew had specifically gone on Strictly because their marriage wasn't very good.
I've heard a story
and they,
like this.
They wanted an exit.
They were hoping for a little bit of something they fancied.
They were. Yeah, they didn't get anything.
They didn't, did they?
It was a disaster and they are still happily married.
Happily in those big old quotation marks.
Huge ones. Imagine that in a different font.
Ooh.
Like a jagged font.
That's a real kick in the teeth, isn't it? When it's pretty hard not to have sex on Strictly.
Imagine being the one person who went on Strictly and didn't end up copping off with a dancer.
That is tough.
Terrible.
Tough.
Mike Bushell and Katya Jones.
Oh my God, we have to talk about
talking of copping off with
actually,
contestants.
No, we have to talk about them. One, I was surprised how easy it was to like her again after all the shenanigans.
Yeah.
That was a really charming. You forget how good her choreography was and is. She's really, really good. Mike Bushell, for heaven's sake, 53. He's lost like half a stone in 2 weeks.
Yep.
His feet were absolutely keeping up on that routine. I thought he was bloody brilliant.
He looked like a sunburned leprechaun, right?
No, he did
like a leprechaun
not.
You found at the side of the
he
road
didn't.
That had been exposure it had got. I'm furious because I put my money on him to go out first.
No, and I thought you were going to put it on
delivered.
David James.
I split it.
Did
so
you
I put 10
you?
On
okay,
each.
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, more fool you.
Well, I thought I'd cover the bases because you went first and went for James Cracknell, which, in fairness, I wasn't going to go for him. I think you made a good call there. Mm-hmm. But I split it between Mike Bushell and David James.
You fool.
Bushell smashed it.
Yeah,
I was furious.
Really, really good.
I was almost in tears.
He's like one up from Ed Balls. Because obviously Ed Balls went a long way because Katya did some amazing choreography.
Yeah.
That Gangnam Style routine, which sometimes I do still watch if I'm sad and it makes me happy. I'm not even lying. She knows how to get the best out of one of those male celebrities. So maybe slightly older, middle age. She knows how to showcase them. But his legs were really moving quite fast.
They were.
I was really impressed.
They were. It was like
he's been working out. There's core strength there that did not. It was belied by his initial appearance.
Yeah. There's a very wholesome evangelical Christian element to him.
Yeah.
Which you get a lot on the people who are on BBC Breakfast.
We're going to call him the headmaster's son, remember? Not to bully him, because I think that says everything you need to know about why he's so great and why he's so much fun.
He is.
Because he's always had to have that stigma. The role of his like, your dad's the headmaster. We're going to kick your head in. And that's made him the man he is
and
today.
Total credit to him for sort of going, I'm going to jump into this with both of my tiny feet.
And tiny feet.
He really has. He's really like, I am going to do this to the very best of my ability.
Yeah.
That is normally an attitude that I find disgraceful and abhorrent.
What pluckiness.
I don't like anyone doing anything well. Just who are you trying to impress? But he really, really went into that.
Yeah.
And it was so much better than you could imagine. I mean, he got 22 points, more than Alex Scott.
Yeah, he did.
More than Catherine Tilsley.
The supposed favourite.
Yeah.
I think, again, solid week. I mean, very much better than average week one performance. But that's quite good week one scoring because he does have plenty of space to improve.
Yeah.
He could go quite far, I think. The one person, have we mentioned Kareem from CBBC?
Nope.
So he was good and he was, I don't know, I would think I was expecting more from him.
Yeah.
I thought he was strangely, although he was fast and energetic and sort of charming, he was quite sort of staccato and stilted and a bit...
Yeah.
Not a natural.
Talking
sort of
about his
mover.
Energy, Amy, who's his dance partner, she's Welsh, and she said he was like a bottle of pop. But in her Welsh accent, it was the most Welsh thing ever said. She said, bottle of pop. Like that, it was like, wow, every single one of those words is now Welsh. He was like a ringer for me. He came in and it was so good. He has been the bookie's favourite before this started.
The one thing he did do is that, because they were dancing with a, there's always one routine where there's a car on stage, always week one, there's always a car.
Yeah.
And he flipped over that bonnet on one hand.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was less of a ballroom thing, more like a use some kind of secret street dancer, because dude, that was a bit too good. And there was a couple of moments where he was up on one hand with his legs in the air.
Yeah.
And it was gymnastic. It wasn't terribly sort of Latin or ballroom, but he's definitely got some kind of backflip thing going on that's clearly...
Do you know what he's going to suffer from? He's going to suffer from Aston Merrifield syndrome.
Which yes, is Buster Merrifield syndrome.
He's in Only Fools and Horses.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But the he has no big J word, no journey.
No.
Because he's come in at such a high level that people will be just like the Pussycat Doll, Ashley Roberts as well.
Yes.
Where you go, gosh, yes, they're clearly the best.
There's going to be stories about him being some kind of champion street dancer or something.
People won't
know.
Vote for the person who's number one every week.
No, they really won't. But that's why Kelvin's in danger too, though, because Kelvin genuinely just seems to have a natural talent for it. I don't think he's trained at all.
No.
He's in incredible physical shape. Not that I was looking.
He's got great big long arms like a gibbon.
He does have big long arms like a gibbon. My God, he also seems to know what to do with them. Like, he didn't even have comments of the judges saying, well, your arms are all over the place. Like, he's in control of that body. It's pretty impressive.
It went a bit well, didn't it?
I mean, a bit too well.
Bruno did my favourite line on the whole thing,
where
he went, this hunk is on fire. I have to mention,
to be fair,
they didn't use the Kings of Leon song that he was dancing to. He was dancing something entirely different.
Yeah.
And so that was a real stock off the shelf.
No. Who is it now? It's Alicia Keys. This girl is on fire. He's used that line before, Bruno. He needs to find a new line.
Yeah, well, I can understand that if you were dancing to Alicia Keys.
I know.
But when it's not, it doesn't make any sense.
A lot of what he says doesn't make sense, but he says it with such force and personality.
I would love to dance the birdie song with this bird. Why are you talking about the birdie song?
It doesn't matter. We've already moved on. Everything's at such speed. Obviously, we also have to talk about Motsy. Much in the way that when Darcy Bustle started, and she said in the first episode she ever did of Strictly, she said, after every comment she made, and they clearly just said, dear God, you can't do that. You sound so posh.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they're going to now clamp down on Motsy's bam! Because her bams were many. I mean, they weren't obtrusive, but they were frequent. And I think she could maybe find a different Batman sound.
It's a difficult job, isn't it, when they put you on that table.
Extremely.
Because you're saying, get yourself over to the British public within moments.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just sit there and sort of go, do you know what? I thought that was a wonderful piece of work.
No.
You have to come in with at least six catchphrases.
Some showbiz,
absolutely. So she was doing a lot of sort of business. I thought she was good.
She had a lot to say, though, that wasn't just empty, like air captions. But no. I think that the bamming was there was a lot of bamming.
Yeah.
And she could maybe find a couple of other syllables.
Kelvin Fletcher, he got 32.
Yeah.
And again, that's not the highest score ever for
a
week
one.
Too high,
though, really?
Yeah, who Zoe Ball got 35.
Are you
for
serious?
For her first week,
What dance did she do?
Don't know. It was waltz, and she did it to Take It to the Limit by the Eagles.
Oh, wow.
So, it's incredible that dance by Kelvin Fletcher is not the thing where they go, that's the best opening day we've ever seen. No.
I mean, it was worryingly high for the pattern we're looking for. But I think the thing that will save him again and again is that I cannot detect, there is no trace of pleased with yourself, smug, secretly good at this. Like, he just seems to have lucked out,
fallen
on his very well-positioned feet. And anything that makes Jamie Ling look like that, just I'm all on board for
it. I mean, there certainly is something about the fact that someone must have had an indication that he'd be good at this.
Well, they audition. They do actually audition.
Mm.
So they see them move, obviously. And then there must be a reserve list. He must have been on some list
it's
somewhere.
It's sort of amazing, though, that you see him and you go, you're going to be on the reserves.
Yeah.
And he must think, what more do I have to do? I'm in the nation's biggest soap.
I know.
And I can really dance.
Yes, I wonder. But then I guess it's all about the mix, isn't it? And if they had their soap people, they didn't want to overpopulate. And I don't know. Who knows how the casting works? But I think it's although Jamie Lang, the chat is good with that guy. And I'm so glad glad we get to watch this one dance. Kelvin is one of my just favourite people to watch, really.
Yeah,
he's him seen, and he, Johannes. Don't know why. No reason. Do you know, I always used to fancy slightly chubby blokes, but ever since Stormzy took his top off at Glastonbury, I'm like, all I care about is abs now and big shoulders, apparently.
You're very shallow.
I know,
you should
thank
be ashamed.
You. Well, God, thank God I'm not doing a Strictly podcast where that's like prerequisite.
Let's have a quick run through the last ones that we haven't talked about.
Okay,
David James with Nadia, they did a foxtrot to Three Lions. Not as terrible as I imagined it would be.
His feet were almost keeping up, but not quite. But honestly, the shapes he was making.
Yeah.
Again, the whole thing they say about the ballroom, which is frame. He's almost there already. I think he's got a potential. I don't know what his Latin's going to be like. He'll look good in the costumes. I don't know if he'll be able to move his hips.
They mentioned on the show that he's a grandfather.
I know.
And when he was dancing, so they changed his hair and it had all been pulled up in a sort of much more modern style.
Yeah.
And he was slightly lanky. Yeah. In a suit, and it made the spectacle look like, because she is very, very Russian looking.
Oh, yes.
Nadia.
Yeah,
it looked very much like you were at an oligarch's 55th birthday and his son was dancing with his new wife. It was, and they were doing that to amuse the oligarch. It was a
in
weird
football kids, yeah.
A weird sort of vibe to the whole thing.
It was. I mean, the if you were Nadia, like, do the costume people not like Nadia Bishkova?
Yeah.
Because they just put her in like a baggy England top, essentially, and some sort of a split skirt. She looked a bit rubbish.
It did. It looked like she,
considering she's beyond like them, she's so sexy.
You know when you go to nice things and then it's 2 a.m.
yeah.
and everyone's really drunk and
yeah.
you go outside to have a fag. And someone's like lent her a top
yes,
that she's
yes.
put on over her nice dress
exactly.
so that she doesn't get too cold while she's smoking her yeah. Rothmans.
You it know. Looked like a real afterthought there. That artistically, that was a funny looking dance. But no, I think as a dancer, he seems to have the ability to make shapes. He was, if you put him and James Cracknell next to each other, which
yeah.
I fear could be the dance-off next week, depending on how they both do.
I think it will be.
There's no way that he just couldn't beat anyone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, James Cracknell could not beat David James,
no,
I don't think.
No,
He's streets ahead
do
of him.
Do you see the size of his hands as well? I know he's a goalie.
They're
like discuses. They are absolutely remarkable. Could not get enough of it.
Yeah.
He came off and he was quite charming as well. He was
yeah.
just going, my lips are so dry. And Tess said to him, that'll be the nerves. Didn't think it was the onset of avian flu. I understand what he means.
I think you're having a heart attack.
Yeah. Let's, going from that week, who were your top and bottom?
This is tricky, but obviously I'd say, I mean, Kelvin, I have to agree.
Total agreement.
I loved watching that so much. But I would also put Will Bailey up there just as a kind of an absolute surprise from the group dance, where I didn't see much of him. But, you know, suddenly to pull that performance, like the actual performance out of the bag. So they're my sort of top two. And then down at the bottom, it's got to be James Cracknell.
Yeah.
But also who I'm interested in and who I'm not. Saffron Barker. I'm sorry, I was yawning.
Yeah.
Didn't even remember her. And then when you reminded me, it was like, oh.
It was hard to remember it while it was going
yes.
on. You were sort of going, oh, this is still happening in the background somewhere.
Yeah. Mm.
But we'll get a dance soon, so
I
that
know.
Will be fine.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think on Saturday we're going to see, I think it will be David James, and I think it's got to be James Cracknell.
There's no way that he's going to. So that's 2 weeks of dance training from 0 to 2 weeks. That's where James Cracknell is. In one more week, how much better can he be? And I don't know, we don't know yet the dances, but
I hope for the sake of our bets, he mm-hmm. uses some of that Olympian spirit and becomes one of the great dancers in the world, because I am desperate to get my £30 for David James going out.
It's not going to happen, my friends, not going to happen.
We will see. And we'll see on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we will be releasing the next episode directly after that show. It comes out on Sunday
yeah.
morning. And then we'll be back late on Sunday to just talk about who has gone. James Cracknell.
It'll be me gloating. It'll be me gloating and waving 50s in front of you.
If you think you're going to manage to get out of this studio without losing at least half of it, let me tell you, you've got another think coming. Thanks very much, everyone. We appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. And keep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com. Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is The One Show Show, in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is. For us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.